All right, people, I need a go-no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Welcome to episode 1118 of the Geek News Central podcast. It's Thursday, May 19th. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Or support this show today at geeknewscentral.com/insider or just paypal.me/geeknews. You can always pick up Ohana gear at cafepress.com/Ohana store. Hey, want to give a warm welcome to all the longtime listeners and viewers. Of course, those of you that are the Ohana of the Geek News Central podcast. Thanks for being here. Thanks for being subscribed. Thanks for checking the show out. For those of you that may be watching live, either on Facebook or on YouTube Live, just be aware that there's the only chat room that I monitor live during the show is at live.geeknewscentral.com, and that's where the YouTube Live is. Those of you hanging out on Facebook or just joining, No commentary from me because I'll be doing other stuff. But welcome to the show. Got to figure out a way to juggle it where the stream on Facebook isn't always updating because it just burns bandwidth that I need to actually push here. But hey, if you're brand new to the show, you could care less about all of that. And I want to welcome you, and I want to, of course, encourage you to get over to geeknewscentral.com. And when you're on the website, all you really have to do is just scroll down the website a little bit. Right there in the right-hand column, you're going to find half dozen ways to get connected with the show via iTunes, via Android, with a number of apps, 13 apps to support our subscribe by one-click subscribe on Android. You can go old school, get it via email. You can get, if you're a Google Play fan, you can listen to the show on Google Play or on Stitcher. Of course, you can just use the regular RSS feed as well to subscribe to the show. And if you have no idea what I'm talking about whatsoever, you can go ahead and just click on the more subscription options. A little bit further down on the page, we've got a link to the newsletter and, of course, the live pages there as well. We want you to get connected and come back to the website on a regular basis. The writing team there does a great job in putting up a whole bunch of content. And we've got lots of partners as well for you to consume content with. We'll talk about them here in just a second. But again, visit geeknewscentral.com, subscribe to the show and the newsletter. You can also, again, visit daily to read. If you want to send an email to me or just contact me, do it on Twitter. Or if I hit the right button here, geeknews@gmail.com is the email address. And at Geek News on Twitter. Of course, you can follow me on Google Plus, on Facebook. You can watch the show on your Roku with the Tech Podcast channel on your Apple TV just by subscribing to the show. You can listen on the Amazon Echo by telling Alexa to play the latest edition of this show's name. You can listen on Stitcher, or you can watch or listen on Blueberry.com. Of course, our partner shows are listed right in the on the website. We've got the New Media Show with Rob Greenlee and I. We do that every Saturday when I'm here in Hawaii. He's in Italy this week, so we're going to have him dial in from Italy. And then the Pro Gear site, talking about all kinds of audio and video gear. We got the Gadget Professor with Mr. Don Bain, so don't miss a weekly episode of his. We've got Health Tech Weekly for Jamie Davis, bringing us all the health tech news. And we got No Better Than Average with Jacob and Jeff. So definitely get connected up here with the entire Ohana. We appreciate it that you subscribe to our entire line of shows at Geek News Central. And, of course, just check out all the shows over at Tech Podcast as well. Of course, this show is sponsored in part by our good friends at GoDaddy.com. Longest continuous running sponsor of any podcast known to man. Now, there's not a Guinness Book of World Record entry, but there should be. They have sponsored this show since July. Now, listen to this, 2005. And thank goodness, continue to support the show here month after month. And we do that because really of one reason. You guys are over there punching their codes. So we've got a whole bunch of GoDaddy promo codes. They're all listed on the website. There's details on what each code offers if you just click the promo code link. But it could be a 30% offer. It could be 99cent.com. It could be a website builder to basically get your business going or rebuild your business. Could be a dollar a month economy hosting for the first 12 months. Could be managed WordPress hosting again, dollar a month. And many of these offers come with a free domain name. So really everything you need to get started for $12. Of course, if you want to get a, you know, go large and get a dedicated server, a virtual dedicated server, one of the new cloud products, that 30% off code works real well as well. So again, get over to the website, geeknesscentral.com/GoDaddy. That's the place to go. That's the place to share. That's the link to share to all our family, friends, people that we know, anyone that's thinking about picking up a domain name. Think, if you hear anyone whisper, I'm like, I'm going to start a website, you're going to say, by the way, I know this guy, he's got some discount codes, and give him the link to the, and force him. Tell him you need to support this guy and his show. Because GoDaddy support here keeps the lights on. Of course, it's kind of almost not true anymore because I'm making more power than I'm using with my solar cells on the house. But it still took $36,000 to put the solar cells on, and we're not even money yet. So I guess we're still, you know, paying that off with the, you know, the solar use every day. But yeah, you guys know what I mean. They keep things moving here and allow me to do what I do. So again, big thank you to my friends over at GoDaddy, and definitely check out all their products and services. Again, geeknesscentral.com/GoDaddy. So what's going on here? The podcast, 54 listeners and podcasters spend over 600 hours going through and grading 200 shows. No. 400 shows, and we got all those back, all those grading sheets back over about a 4 or 5 day period, but on Tuesday night, they were due, and then all day Wednesday was spent reconciling all the, putting them together, getting the median grade point for each show. You just, you know, a lot of calculator usage. Some of that stuff is, you know, they'd messed the spreadsheet up, so our automated system didn't fully work. So we spent all day reconciling that and then coming up with a top 10. I think we're pretty much locked in. I don't think we have any doubles. There was some QAing being done today. The auditing firm was looking at the data. So I think Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern, we're going to be ready to, right here from the studio, announce the 11th podcast award slate and go into voting about, I think, a week later. So exciting times, and I'm glad the hard work is done at this point. Now I can focus on what we're going to do for the awards ceremony. Matter of fact, we've raised about $8,500, something around that number. So I'm ready to start talking to developers. We didn't make the 25K. We might be able to bring another couple $1,000. I'm going to be pressing the Ohana over at Podcast Awards heavy on the slate night. Basically, let's see if we can bring in, you know, $2,000-$4,000 more dollars. It'd be really well, do us a lot of good. But we're about, I think, 8K or so, 8.5K. And we're not taking any of that money, and none of that's going to go to buying trophies. It is going to do a little administrative overhead, very little cost, $200-$300 over the top to pay for servers and some of that stuff. But I'm trying to get the site rebuilt, and it's needed in a big way. So I'm looking for a developer, and you'd like to make some money. This is a project that needs to be finished. right around the 15th of December. So it's something that can be worked over a number of months, but there's going to be a fixed budget, and it's not going to go a penny over. So we're going to be very tight. But if you know someone that wants to work this and give me some pro bono hours too, and have some you know, something associated, your name associated with it, definitely want to hear from you immediately, because we're going to get that going. Anna's in Japan, so we've been watching stuff she's doing on you know, basically posting some pictures up to Facebook and so forth. So she's in Shiba in Tokyo, so she's be there, and she's actually going down to Okinawa for a couple of days. I think I think tomorrow she goes down for, or maybe it's even today. Yeah, because it's tomorrow there. So she's going to be going to Okinawa and hanging out with her grandmother and aunties and cousins and a whole bunch of stuff. So she'll be down there for a couple of days, and then she's back up to Tokyo for the rest of her vacation. But I've been reworking some video feeds and stuff here in the studio. I'm pretty well done. Stuff has come in, some new splitters and stuff. So hopefully everything is going out the way it should tonight. It looks like it is, at least. Nothing has... It looks like the YouTube thing may have failed. I mean, the Facebook thing. I wonder why that did. Well, that's just lovely. So maybe we aren't up on Facebook. Oh, I'm looking over here, and it's yellow. And so am I up online? I don't think I am. Yeah, maybe I am. I don't know. It looks like it could be. Maybe it's in replay. Who knows? So, all right. Well, anyway, what else? I think that's it. I think that's all I have in my stack. Oh, I will. I've been bragging about this Dell monitor, right? That's sitting right here. You guys can't see it. It's monster. And I ran the model number on this thing. Oh, I know now why I'm in love with this thing. It's the Dell UltraSharp 32 Ultra HD 4K monitor with premium color. It's the UP32116Q. And when I saw the price on this thing, I just about lost my mind. $1,800. And man, oh man, is it just absolutely fantastic. I'm going to try something here. We'll see how bad it screws up the folks on Facebook. Well, I don't know. We'll find out here in a second if it... okay, is it running still? I don't know. Hopefully it gets a little bit... Well, I put them on a different network. And hopefully it'll turn green again. But anyway, this thing is absolutely incredible. I mean, holy smokes, incredible. So anyway, I'll have a link up to it in the show notes. And there's no room for it right here. I have the biggest monitor I can possibly put right in front of me. So I'm telling, you know, my wife, I'm like, where are we going to put this thing? And she came around and looked at it and fell in love with it. So it's going to end up somewhere here in the house. But it's just simply gorgeous. All right, let me... last show, we talked a little bit about the cable industry, and they're battling the FCC on the set-top box stuff. And they are definitely playing hardball. But a number of proposal backers have went and basically had their own basically public relations event, and they're slamming the cable companies back. And this was largely a number of programmers, minority programmers. Back in the FCC set-top proposal, were passionate about the need to unlock the box, which they suggested was being held shut by cable monopolists who had enlisted the handful of minority programmers with shelf space, and specifically the Congressional Black Caucus, to fight the FCC initiative. They basically said that that these folks were basically the CBC, Congressional Black Caucus, was being used by the cable providers, and it was all about money. Money in a position and a seat at the table and a variety of things, but passions ran high during the press event. No punches were pulled as the programmers talked of the need to get their diverse content online and the content into the marketplace. One of the individuals on the call was a gentleman by the name of Clifford Franklin. He's the CEO of GFN-TV. And he said he was disappointed in the CBC stance, saying it was representing large companies who could get them tables and tickets. And it was shameful that they were representing only one side of the story. Another individual, Peggy Dotson, president of the Urban Broadcasting Company, said that she was not happy that the CBC was being brought into the fight. She called it really unconscionable, saying she was absolutely appalled. Both said it was a case of larger interest setting minority programmers against minority programmers. They recognized that TV One, for example, was understandably fighting for the small piece of pie it had been conceded, but that the pie needed to be a lot bigger and that the set-top box or set-top proposal could achieve that. So in other words, what they're saying is, and again, this is some minority-owned broadcasting companies. We're saying, listen, this new type of set-top box could get our programming more access, more searchable. We wouldn't be limited all the time to a linear stream. And they really are saying from a minority standpoint, minority owned business, that eliminating the barrier to entry, so that the cable and the basically the Coxes and the Time Warners of the world, once they lose the box, they lose a lot of control of what can be on the box, and because a lot of people are so used to having that, just the channels that they're allotted, and then having switched to another device. If you can bring everything into one, it truly levels the playing field for everybody, including us. They're doing content like this. You know, we have channels on a set-top box, and we get not a huge amount, but a percentage of you listen or watch the show from that vantage point. But you're not going to get this show on Time Warner's cable box. It's not ever going to happen. You know, that just will not, that's, beyond the realm of reality, unless I was very, very aggressive and spent a lot of money and made it happen. But why do that? Why go somewhere that you're not wanted? So anyway, long story short here, they're pushing back on the cable companies, Time Warner, and so having a spokeshole that is, touting their party line and, basically lobbying for them. So this is, I think all of us want, the freedom to choose what kind of content we want. And at some point, these old business models where a cable provider or a TNT or someone like that comes in and says, all right, you want two flagship stations. You got to take these 20 other junk ones. And you got to pay us to, have those 20 other junk ones on there. At some point, we got to, the good needs to go on one side, the junk needs to go the other, and these companies have to stand on their own two legs with their good stuff. And I don't think we're that far away from it. Facebook is in hot water again in regards to user privacy. According to a lawsuit certified for class action yesterday in Northern California District Court, the social network giant might have violated federal privacy laws by scanning users' private messages. According to a filing reported earlier by The Verge, plaintiffs allege that Facebook scans the content of a user's private message, and if there's a link to a web page contained in the message, Facebook treats it as a like for the page. Plaintiffs further allege that Facebook uses this data regarding likes to compile user profiles, which it then uses to deliver targeted advertising to users. Now, This has been in work for a while. And Facebook did not necessarily disagree with some of the alleged stuff that's going on, and say that they're, and they went on to say that they're not doing it. Facebook spokesperson said that the company had long ago stopped the practice of turning embedded links and private messages into likes and added. So maybe this won't go anywhere, but they were definitely doing this naughty stuff before. Once again, just remember, if it's not on your site, it's not on your.com, you're not controlling the message, you are the product. And that includes stuff on Facebook for sure. Hey, you know, I've just for some reason today, there was a ton of like articles on military gadgets, tech, and you know, it. And usually when it comes to military tech, you get kind of a peripheral type of a view. You really don't get down and dirty of maybe what a product really does. There's a lot of innuendos, right? Well, this particular product that was being displayed at an event at National Harbor, Maryland, or in National Harbor, Maryland, was basically anti-drone technology. And this is really what it is. It's a transmitter on it, and basically it looks like on a weapon mount, and basically you point the device at the drone, and either there's two or three different types of models of this. It's from a variety of companies. One jams a drone, the other one tells it to go home, or the other tells it to land immediately, and so it's basically being used to combat drones, and it has an effective range of, what did they say here, this and it really kind of looks like a gun but with an antenna on it, about 400 meters. And the company called Battelle, which come up with this, calls it a directed RF energy weapon. And it sends out a jamming signal in the industrial, scientific, and medical bands, or global positioning bands, in a 30-degree cone around the point of aim. So apparently this device, or similar ones, are already being sold or have sold to folks like the California Forest Service. I think, you know, the folks that are whoever in charge of fighting firefighters in California, because we all heard in the news last year, some knucklehead was flying a drone in or around a fire, and they weren't able to bring a tanker in or had to call the tanker off because they were worried about a mid-air collision with the drone and so forth. And I heard some of these have already been sold to those folks. I wouldn't be surprised if these are going to be start being sold to the military. Well, anyway, it was at a military event where it was demoed. And the folks at ours were actually, and this must be and I've seen a couple of these articles already, so the Navy must be on a big PR piece, because they gave a bunch of reporters a tour into the Stiletto. It's DOD's Stealthy High-Speed Lab at Sea, and it's just a catamaran is essentially what it looks like it is. And so some folks from Ars Technica was able to get on and take some pictures, I'm sure, in areas that are not for, you know, basically not restricted areas. And of course, there were some images with the monitors turned off, and that's usually an indication that they don't want you to see everything. And but they got a few pictures and some piloting area. And so anyway, this is all part of this event that was going on with the in conjunction with that other piece talking about that drone jammer. So a lot of military tech, a lot of your taxpayer dollars going to buy some of that stuff. So anyway, when I find this kind of stuff, I'll just share it with you. I've often told all of you here that we decided to make our youngest son wait longer for a smartphone. Now, granted, he has access to mine and his mother's phones, and you know, usually ask for it in the car, but still I have control of it, right? It's not like he's taking my phone to bed. So there's a study out that the average age for children getting their first smartphone now is 10.3 years. And based on what I've learned from my first two kids that went through and got smartphones, we're going to wait to at least high school before my youngest gets a smartphone. And then when we do, it is not going to be a very fancy one. It's going to have limited functionality, very underpowered, not an enjoyable gaming experience. It's not going to be something really nice, because they're a distraction in a big way. In my opinion, and I think my kids would have went and done better in high school had they not had a smartphone. I should have got flip phones at the time for them. I know they wouldn't have been the cool kids at school, but hindsight's 20/20. But you know, with this average age of a child getting their first smartphone 10.3, and with tablets having surged from 26% to 55% usage as kids. Device choice during car rides, of course. It's shocking to me that 64% of kids have access to the internet via their own laptop or tablet, compared to just 42% in 2012. We share laptops here. Well, the two oldest ones, they have their own for college. But so my wife and my son share a laptop, even though we have extra ones here. He just doesn't take a laptop off to his room that doesn't work. Now, 39% of kids get a social media account at 11.4 years. 11% got a social media account when they were younger than 10. And just some other numbers here. 85% access the internet from room shared with a family in 2012. That number's dropped to 76% today. And now 24% have private access from their bedrooms. Not my 12-year-old. No private. If he's home, he's a tablet. He's in the living room. There is no private access to the internet from a bedroom. It's not happening. So, anyway, it's pretty surprising on this. I guess it isn't. The shift downwards in ages. What do you guys think? What's your policy? What are you going to do as a parent if you still have the kids at home? Geeknews@gmail.com. Love to hear your commentary. All right, Sprint changes plans again. And they're going to kill off their two-year contracts. They just can't seem to make up their mind. In January, the company killed two-year contracts, only to bring them back a month later. Now they're going to be leaving again by the end of May, mostly. So who knows what they're doing over there at Sprint? I think struggling is probably a good word. But I know one thing. The AT&T folks are sending me more review stuff. They reached out to me today, and you know, I basically said, "Sure, send them." So they're being real aggressive and getting review units out for sure. Hey, Spotify has released an Android TV app. It's not Google TV anymore; it's Android TV. Just so you guys are, when you're out shopping around and looking for stuff. But this is an interesting move, and of course, you know, one of the biggest music apps on the Roku is Pandora. You know, they people play Pandora all day long on their television. So the app will enable Android TV owners to browse and listen to their music on the biggest screen in their home. The app is live now and readily available for download from the Google Play Store. It does record Android TV version 5.0 or above. Until today, users who want to access Spotify and Android TV had to go with a third-party client called Emma for Spotify. That client required a premium account, so it was already useless for a majority of Spotify users. So you listen to podcasts as well on Spotify. Tesla is now selling $2 billion in stock to fund Model 3 production. They're splitting it. $1.4 billion is going to be it's going to be secondary. It's going to be offering a secondary stock offering. Currently, Tesla is trading at $200 a share, which means it looks to bring in $1.4 billion, and then co-founder CEO Elon Musk will also be selling close to 2.8 million shares, and that amounts to around $600 million, hence the $2 billion figure. And much of the cash is going to be used to increase the production capacity to be able to start cranking out vehicles. And so I'm sure Elon Musk will take some cash himself. You know, you're going to pull out $600 million. You know, maybe it's time for a recharge of the checking account. Who knows? But that would be one heck of a recharge, wouldn't it? How many of you got a Chrome, Google Chrome, a Chrome OS book, a Chromebook? It's exciting time. You know, I've got a Chromebook down here. Haven't had it out in a little while. My son was using it quite a bit before he went to college. But Google just announced that Chrome OS will open up to Android app developers in June. Google hopes that within a couple of months, apps will move to a stable beta release and finally work on Chromebooks this fall. So this makes good on earlier leaks that Android would be pulling the Google Play Store along with its 1 million apps into Chrome OS. This is huge. This is really huge. And for lovers of Chromebooks, which, by the way, in the first quarter of 2016 outsold MacBooks, that's big. So a lot of people are buying Chromebooks. It's a browser. You know, that's a computer with a browser. That's it. And then the apps and, you know, you can get to Gmail and everything else that Google offers. But I know a lot of people that, you know, for simplicity standpoint, really do love their Chromebooks. Now, if you can't afford this beautiful monitor that I have sitting next to me, which again was sent as a review unit, which I greatly appreciate. This is probably one of the nicest review packages I've ever got from Dell. Dell has some affordable 4K IPS monitors. They're on sale today in two different sizes. The Dell P15 Q series 4K monitors have always been the most affordable 4K IPS displays on the market, but today the 27-inch model is down to $450 and the 24-inch model is down to $374. And again, the IPS displays boost superior color accuracy and viewing angles compared to the standard TN panels that you get that you find in most cheap 4K monitors. So anyway, that's the skinny on that on a pricing standpoint. But again, the monitor that I currently am testing is the Dell UltraSharp 32-inch HD 4K monitor with Premier Color. And this bad boy is huge. And, oh, no, I don't want to talk. And if you're doing any type of editing, all that color correction and all that stuff is the key here. But absolutely fantastic monitor that I have well fell in love with. And considering how much it cost, I rightly should have. All right, researchers could help the law enforcement tap into public surveillance cameras. There's a report out that researchers from Purdue University found a way for law enforcement to tap into a surveillance camera that was not password protected. The goal with this newly developed system isn't to help law enforcement perform questionable acts, quote unquote, but rather make it easier for them to figure out how to better assist folks during a crime or emergency. To make it possible, the engineers develop a tool smart enough to find open network surveillance cameras, including public ones, and then send their location to officials who are looking to scan a nearby scene. So obviously there's a concern for privacy with this project, but Purdue University says it's only proof of concept right now, noting that they're taking the necessary steps to ensure people's privacy if the system ever goes online. So who paid them to do that? Who paid Purdue to do this little project? Typically, colleges don't do these types of research products without having some cash in hand. So it's an interesting move. Hey, there's an article from it talks about Warren Buffett. Now, you may or may not be a fan of Warren Buffett, but, you know, I'm often scheduling appointments as much as a week in advance. But I guess when you get to this guy's stature, and if you want to talk to this guy, the way he schedules appointments, if anyone wants to see him, have a meeting with him, they're told to call and set up the meeting when they can see him the next day. So if you want to meet Warren Buffett next Friday, you call next Thursday and say, can I see Mr. Buffett tomorrow? So if you have to travel, you know, you almost have to have yourself in place and then hope that you're going to get a meeting with him. But interesting strategy. Never heard anyone doing meetings like that. But according to this article, that's apparently signalvnoise.com. That's how he does his meeting setups. Should have had this in the last section, but the Navy, go Navy. The Navy's new cloud network forms a tactical kill web. The Navy is developing a tactical cloud that will tie together targeting data acquired from a range of sources in the sky, space, and subsurface. The U.S. Naval Institute reports this week that the network will essentially allow any aircraft, ship, or submarine to draw information from any other instrument in the cloud and extend their own range when launching weapons against surface targets. So if you're, you know, if you're in a ship, you know, your horizon is not very far. If you're an aircraft at 25,000 feet, your horizon is much bigger. Now, obviously, ships are going to be using the aircraft horizon for bigger protection. But now that they're saying this tactical cloud will be able to be such integrated that a subsurface guy could stick a snorkel up there and get a data feed and target something a long ways away based upon what's being put over the quote unquote tactical cloud. So sounds pretty cool. Pretty cool stuff. Sounds like a lot of data moving left to right and right to left. Over on Gawker at Gawker.com, New York Times today did a live pitch meeting to an editor on Facebook, did it live on Facebook. And it was about 15 or 16 minutes. It showed what reporters go through to try to pitch an article to a section of the Times' newspaper. And kind of an interesting process. But I wouldn't want to have to be a reporter pitching articles to anyone. I don't pitch nothing to nobody. I just rock and roll here and do what I want to do. And the pitch guy is me. Absolutely me. So anyway, cool stuff if you want to watch the video. Let's see here. Skipping. Hey, CEO Larry Page was on the stand in the Google's fight lawsuit with Oracle. And he got basically hammered for about 30 minutes by the Oracle lawyer talking about Google's use of 37 Java APIs. Which Oracle acquired when it bought Sun Microsystems in 2012. And basically the judge says that even though the APIs and basically Google didn't technically use the code, the APIs were supposed to be an open source, so there's this big battle going on. And Oracle's trying to sue Google for $9 billion. Yes, nine with a B, billion. But it is an interesting back and forth between the lawyer and Larry Page. So I have the link up in the show notes. If nothing else, it's worth the read to see the gamesmanship being played by some highfalutin lawyers. Hey, senators have put forward a new bill to halt expansion of government's hacking powers. Senator Ron Wyden, Democrat of Oregon, which we've heard from many times, and other like-minded senators have come out forcefully against the pending change to federal judicial rules that expand judges' ability to authorize remote access hacking of criminal suspect devices. In other words, judges in New York can authorize the warrant of the examination of a computer in Hawaii. So on Thursday, Wyden submitted a bill that aims to stop the proposed amendments to Rule 41 dead in its tracks. The entire bill is one sentence long. Check this out. I think this is the shortest bill ever produced by Congress. The proposed amendments to Rule 41 of the Federal Rules of Criminal Procedure, which are set forth in an order entered by the Supreme Court of the United States on April 28, 2016, shall not take effect. So the bill is co-sponsored by two other Democrats and two Republicans. Of course, Senator Rand Paul, Republican of Kentucky. Senator Steve Daines, Republican of Montana. A companion bill is expected in the House. So anyway, we'll see where this goes. Net neutrality. Net neutrality complaints have been flooding into the FCC since rules took effect last year. FCC data showed 21,000 net neutrality complaints and 78,876 about robocalls. But the net neutrality complaints really have been broken down into a variety of different things. For example, people had 22,989 complaints about billing. Privacy was 7,968. Speed of their service, 11,200. Availability, 14,251. And then open internet neutrality was 20,991, which included a whole bunch of subcategories. So not all of them were net neutrality complaints. And some of them were loosely written, some were good, but most of them were about throttling, paid prioritization, slow speeds, high prices, data caps, under the net neutrality category, which really has nothing to do, some of that has nothing to do with net neutrality. So they're getting people complain, but maybe not exactly where they should be. A federal judge has rejected Mozilla's demand to see a bug in Tor browser. Of course, the Tor browser is made up of basically Mozilla core. And the judges basically said, nope, you don't have a right to ask the government to give up their hole or their bug that gives them access to the Tor browser. So anyway, Mozilla has lost that one. And we'll see where this goes as it moves forward. There's police are always, taking face shots these days. And everyone seems to have something bad to say about a law enforcement officer. And it doesn't help when they do stuff dumb. A police officer was basically being verbally attacked. The guy was shouting, and this is a known one of those, one of those guys that always is getting in arguments with police officers and sometimes getting arrested. But this guy was doing the, F the police, and making a whole bunch of derogatory comments. But then the gentleman changed his tactic. He stood outside his restaurant, and he started calling one of the police officers a pedophile. And when he did that, and because he was recording it, which would end up on Facebook, they arrested him under a cyber harassment charge. So we'll see where this goes. But because he called him a pedophile, he felt that he was in his right to go and arrest him. But based upon the cybersecurity stuff. You traveling this summer? You flying? Give yourself extra time at the airport. Check with your local airport authority. Apparently, the TSA is having a hard time as the volume increases for summer, processing people in a timely manner. I was actually told to be at O'Hare 3 hours before my departure to guarantee getting through security. By the United rep when I was talking to him the other day about some ticket changes. Crazy. Absolutely crazy. So give yourself plenty of time if you're traveling this summer. Hey, if you have a Wrangler, Jeep is recalling 392,000 2007, 2010 Jeep Wranglers in the United States, along with 7435 of the U.S. spec Wranglers and right-hand drive, with right-hand drive. Apparently, there's an issue with an electrical connection behind the steering wheel that might cause the driver's side front airbag to not deploy in the event of an accident. Dirt. If you get dirt in there, apparently there's a problem. So they're recalling to be able to fix that so that the airbags deploy like they're supposed to. Facebook has launched a website called fast.com. So let me give you guys just a little sample here of how this thing, those of you that are watching, let me go ahead and flip this over and I'll type up the website. And for those of you that are listening, so what it starts doing now is it starts doing a speed test. And it says right now that my internet speed is 230, 250, 260 megs per second. 270 is what the speed is. And apparently that's to the Netflix cloud, I guess, maybe locally. I don't know. But the speed test net number was nowhere near 270 megs per second down. The most I get here to from Hawaii to California is, if I'm lucky, about 220 megs down, and then with about 10 megs up. And that was what the problem was tonight. I was on, I was pushing media on basically the same network, and I'm pushing HD tonight on YouTube, and just was enough overhead left over to push the stream to Facebook. Hubble just captured one of the coolest photos of Mars ever taken, as you remember. The red planet is basically going to be as close as it will be in 11 years. And that space difference, they were able to capture some images. And they expect to have some better ones soon. So I'll have that link up in the show notes for you to take a look. But pretty good detail in the image. You can see details as small as 20 to 30 miles across. So I have that up for you to take a peek at. Uber's begin testing self-driving cars in Pittsburgh. Well, don't be expected to get picked up by a self-driving car. In other words, nobody in the car. The testing I think that they're doing right now will still require a driver behind the wheel. And I don't know if they're actually giving rides, but it may happen. So they can't have anyone in the front driver's seat, I think people that are going to be riding in this particular vehicle have to sit in the back. I don't know. Anyway, long story short, they're testing them in Pittsburgh. Now, I am not anywhere. I'm not a scientist. I don't understand, you know, biology. You know, that was a class you went to cut up some frogs in high school. That's the extent of my biology training. But apparently they're talking about synthetic human genome. And they're saying they could be right around the corner. Now, today, what they do is if they're trying to mess with mess with the human genome, is that they do splicing. And they pull something out and they stick it somewhere else. But a synthetic genome is different because it's built entirely from scratch. It's the difference between touching up a painting and actually painting it. You might be able to come in and add a few strokes here and there, perhaps even improve it, but none of that implies that you could have painting the original in the first place. Duh. Okay, so, and you'll, oh my God. Well, anyway, long story short, they feel this synthetic genome might be a way to do some cloning or build new organisms or a freak of nature, who knows? But the scientists are freaking me out just a little bit in some of this stuff. But a synthetic human genome could be just around the corner. Link will be up in the show notes. You can read what I was able to impair. All right, last show. I got to thinking about Akihabara in Tokyo. So I was like Alihabara or something like that, and I was smacking myself against the head because it's Alibaba. Alibaba is the website that's a Chinese online shopping platform that you can basically, if you're buying something today that has the name whatever written on it, it more than likely has a generic in China that you can buy. And sometimes I find stuff that's very, very expensive in U.S. markets that's being sold as a pro piece of equipment that maybe I would buy from a name brand company in the United States. It might be $1,000 or $2,000, and find that same exact device without a new label on it for very cheap. And every once in a while, I shop on Alibaba and buy stuff. Not very often, for sure, but a lot of retailers in the country don't like them because it is known to be a haven for copyright violators. and people that are copying Tiffany products and that type of stuff. So, anyway, Alibaba was a little bit in the news today about some of those issues, but that was the company I was trying to think of on the last show. All right, the Malaysian government's pushing for broad internet censorship following internet reporting on government corruption. Well, when the prime minister has $700 million magically appear in his bank account, and that is determined by some outside of the country investigators, and it's put up online, well, Malaysia was basically blocking like medium.com and a few other sites, but they're putting laws into place that basically allow them to, in the interest of civil society and public interest, they're putting a new law together that essentially is going to block sites and content so that their populace can't be educated. Switching gears here, Apple might let you unlock your Mac with an iPhone and Touch ID. So if you're using your fingerprint to unlock your phone already, just remember, if you are ever arrested and you are unlocking your phone with your finger, you can be compelled to put your finger on the unlocking mechanism. You don't have to do your password. But anyway, Apple is working on an OS X feature that allow Mac computers to be unlocked by using your iPhone. Makes sense to me. Tesla Crypt. Any of you have affected by Tesla Crypt? Well, the ransomware people shut the site down, and someone that had a tool that was basically unencrypting some of those files asked the creators of Tesla Crypt if they would post their key. And they did. They post their master key to be able to unlock a lot of the stuff that the Tesla Crypt program does. So maybe you got a hard drive laying around. This might be news to you. I have a link up in the show notes for you to check out. Government Motors, you know who that is, right? GM. And I still like calling them that. I know that many of you are GM fans, but you know, GM wouldn't be here today if the government hadn't bailed them out. But GM says it has misstated fuel economy numbers on a number of vehicles. So U.S.-based General Motors told the Environmental Protection Agency that that it had misstated the fuel economy in some of its 130,000 Chevy Traverse, GMC Acadias, and Buick Enclaves from 2016, overestimating the car's mileage by 1 to 2 miles per gallon. GM said it will compensate customers for the miles per gallon they thought they were getting out of the vehicle, possibly with gift cards. Another company was Opel. Opel denies emissions cheating allegations, but they're being leveled against them. Again, in Germany, that's General Motors, Opel. Yes, GM owns that. They're having some fights too. But anyway, that's what's going on with the EPA and vehicles and recalls and everything else going on with cars today. They're trying to kill us. All right, Reddit post can now be embedded elsewhere on the internet. So if you're in Reddit and you see something cool, you can take an embed, you can post it on your blog, write to different places. I don't know why you would necessarily do that, but it is allowed, and they encourage you to share, and it ties people essentially back into the Reddit ecosystem at some point. As I mentioned earlier in the show, according to research from IDC, more Google Chromebooks were sold in first quarter 2016 than all of Apple's Mac line. The milestone marked the first time Google Chrome OS moved more units than OS X in the United States. And apparently how many did the Chromebook sold? Mac sold about 1.76 million units in the first quarter, meaning Chromebook sold somewhere in the neighborhood of 2 million units or more, which is pretty impressive if you ask me. So anyway, that's going to bring us to the end of the, can you believe that? We're here at the end of the show, but I've got some commentary. Why are you bugging me for a new password when I already have, all right, I must have not have saved it. All right, I hope I put the right one in. Just don't go, I'll fix it later. All right, so let me find my comments from the show today. Okay, so I had Richard sent me an email. He says, hey, Todd, I just got on at Amazon recently. And Richard works at Amazon. He's at their fulfillment center in Lexington, Kentucky. I've been following Richard on Facebook. I think he just had to move. Anyway, you're talking about Amazon opening up in-house branding. Well, they already have their own branding from what I've seen. They call it Amazon Basics. And actually, I've got a couple of things in the past from them, Richard. It was Amazon Basics, some little shipping boxes and stuff like that. I don't know if they would call it that if they opened it up to actual stores, but that's what they are selling their own products under now. As always, love the show, Richard. And thanks, Richard. Hey, I know you get to listen to this while you're running up and down aisles. So keep an eye out for stuff I order, man. And I got an email from Chris, and he had asked me about Alibaba and sent him that information. Got an email from Jeff. He says, hey, Todd, this is about the, let me bring this up in the show notes or up in the system. So I didn't read this. It's cited Wall Street Journal, Amazon Alexa tablet. So what is that? Oh, well, Amazon is making an Alexa powered tablet. Oh, the engineers at Lab 126 are in the midst of developing the device. Amazon is working on a device imbued with Alexa powers. Huh. So, you know, every time they've come out with a tablet, they haven't done nearly as well. If they tie this thing to Android, that might be a lot better, but that is what they're doing. So I'll have that link up in the show notes. Jeff, thanks for sending that in. All right, we're going to wrap things up here. You know, believe it or not, having spent 2 weeks in Vegas, been home for like a week and a half, and 2 weeks on the road on the West Coast and Central United States, I'm still like recovering jet lag wise, even though it's been a few days here since I've been home. So it's get a little punchy at this time of night. So I appreciate everyone kind of hanging out with me here and staying subscribed to the show. It's greatly appreciated. Those of you that are insiders, we haven't went through the insiders list in a while. I'll be doing that soon. Again, thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for your ongoing contributions. We even get checks from time to time from folks as well. Thanks for those contributions. You know, every dollar helps. And what we do here at Geek News Central is I reinvest in gear, myself, the website, our writers, to keep the ball moving here. So those of you that are making insider contributions, they're going a long way to do cool things. We're not at the point where we can drop advertisers because of it yet. That would be my goal at some point in the future, to be able to do that or be able to hire someone from ongoing contributions to the show. That has not fully developed yet. And that is, I guess, and some people hate this, but it is what it is. And thank goodness for GoDaddy for helping us maintain and keep the lights on and my family fed. I definitely appreciate their ongoing support. And if you know, you can support my sponsor by sharing my promo codes with friends, family members, people that you know, strangers on the street, people that you meet in the bathroom. I'm absolutely gross. I don't want you to do that. But I want you guys get the idea. Any place, anytime, anywhere. And that helps things a lot. And if you want to link to us from your blog or something and tell people to come over here, that's even better. But let's bring it up to a close here. I want to thank everyone for hanging out. And I'll be back with you on Monday for a regular scheduled show. And, of course, we'll be doing the new media show with Rob this Saturday. And he's going to be calling in from Italy, so that should be fun. But everyone take care. We'll see you next time. Everyone take care. And aloha.